on today's episode, I'm coming to you live from the heart of Cisco Live 2025 here in not so sunny San Diego at the moment. The grey skies remind me more of Seattle than San Diego, but that is going to change, I'm sure. So this week, the convention centre has been transformed into a hub of vision as attendees from all around the world explore the intersection of AI, security, and network transformation. And I think it's important to remember, because I'm going to be doing 10 plus interviews here this week, that Cisco Live isn't just about new product announcements. It's actually where bold ideas meet practical deployment. And this year, the focus is laser sharp. AI-ready infrastructure, embedded security at every layer, full-stack observability, and smarter networks designed for performance. And we're beginning to see firsthand how all of these technologies are converging in a way that helps businesses deliver outcomes in real time, whether that be large-scale enterprise rollouts to critical conversations about managing risk in an AI-driven world. These are just a few of the things that I'm hearing live on the show floor here. But in the middle of all this is a powerful partnership between Cisco and Groq, spelled G-R-O-Q. And my guest today is Cameron Ferdinands, Director of Networking and Data Center Engineering at Groq. And they are a company that is redefining what high-performance AI inference looks like at scale. And Groq is known for its radical simplified architecture, lightning-fast LPU platform, and a cloud experience that is purpose-built for developers and enterprises alike. But one of the things that caught my attention today with Groq's deep integration of Cisco's networking hardware from the Nexus 9000 series to advanced optics, they're demonstrating how enterprises can eliminate complexity, but at the same time push limits of speed, efficiency, and developer velocity. And this isn't theory. It's a working model for delivering AI at scale with both consistency and clarity. So how does Groq's software-defined approach unlock faster innovation? What does real-time AI look like in production today? Let's dive into that and explore how this partnership is helping businesses accelerate without compromise. Right here, right on the heart of Cisco Live. Enough scene setting for me. Let me officially introduce you to Cameron now. So a massive warm welcome to the show. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am the Director of Network and Data Center Engineering here at Groq. I look after both the networking side and as well as our data centers.
So we're meeting here in San Diego for Cisco Live. I've got to ask, we've both traveled a lot of miles to be here today, but what's brought you to Cisco Live? And as I know we're on day one here, but has anything caught your attention so far?
Quite a few things. I think the story around enterprise AI is very interesting, particularly around building and repatriating workloads, seeing that inferencing doesn't exist inside the cloud providers.
And is there anything that personally excites you? I don't know, when you're wandering the show floor here at Cisco Live, what are you here to see? A kind of conversations that you're having? Anything that really excites you as, on a personal level?
I think the real adoption of enterprise AI is truly inspiring. Seeing what both the developers on Groq Cloud do with AI, as well as seeing a lot of enterprise adoption, has been really fantastic. I think the potential for AI in corporate applications is it's the next wave.
Many people listening will know all about Groq, but what would you say makes it different? What makes it stand out in the tech landscape right now?
I think definitely our speed. You know, Groq is fast. Groq's super fast on inference, and we have the great tokens per second and great response rate. And that's why we've recently seen the announcement that we did with Meta running Llama 4 workloads. You know, to do that, you know, being networking and talking networking here at Cisco Live, we needed to build quite a impressive edge network to be able to process that data really quickly. Not just that edge network, but then globally distribute that. So we have Groq's inferencing inside the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, as well as the recent deal that we've announced with Bell in Canada, and then our North American presence as well. So bringing that Groq from couple of data centers in North America to Saudi Arabia to Canada has been a really fun journey.
And that was a huge announcement recently, as you mentioned, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Tell me more about that partnership, because a huge deal, isn't it? And refreshing to hear stories maybe outside of Silicon Valley too.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the thing that really resonates with me here at Grok is that the things we talk about are real now. So there's a data center in Saudi Arabia, and it's full of racks serving tokens to the world right now.
So not only are you doing back-to-back meetings, I suspect there's a few panels and keynotes, etc. What else brings you here?
Two events. So we get to do a session about 30 minutes on the Grok Nexus journey. And we have quite a good journey where we've started with top of rack, gone to tri rack, and now end of row switching. So it'd be good to talk about, you know, what an all Cisco data center looks like, which is fantastic for us as a single management platform, as well as a partner that we can really rely on. And then I'll also be appearing up on a panel talking about the future of AI.
Oh, wow. And for anyone that cannot attend that, what kind of topics are you going to explore and cover when we're talking about the future of AI?
I think the one that's really interesting to me is that getting enterprises their data ready for AI, where the inferencing, and whether it be on GPUs or Grok LPUs, the inferencing is occurring outside of the traditional data silos. So making sure enterprises are ready to ship their data into models.
So one of the things we've got to talk about here, of course, is the use of Cisco Nexus 9000 series switches, which when I was doing a little research on you, I know that you're more than aware of and deeply involved with it. So tell me a little bit more about it, and also how it directly impacts the performance and the efficiency of your AI inference platform. Because I think for most people listening, they've heard of the platform, they know all about it, but knowing what goes on under the hood, that's something we don't talk about enough, possibly.
So at Grok, we actually run three networks. We run a data center network, an edge network, and a chip-to-chip network. The Nexus 9000 sits inside our data center network. And we have quite an interesting journey where we started from top of rack, then moving into tri-rack, and now we've moved to end-of-row switching. We have a predominantly 100 gig network, and radix is extremely important to us.
And I'm curious, what kind of networking challenges did you encounter when scaling your infrastructure, especially when we're talking about supporting real-time AI workloads? And how have you had to overcome them? Because, again, it's one of those things that we don't talk about, and it looks easy. Everything works seamlessly. But under the hood, again, you guys are working incredibly hard.
I think for us, our predominant workload is inference, not training. Yeah. So we have a slightly different traffic profile compared to what a traditional AI workload might be. A lot of the, you know, chip-to-chip traffic is what takes the bulk, but it's very important to have very reliable 100 gig connectivity between our hosts.
And if we were to geek out for a moment, can you walk me through Grok's data center design, how it supports low latency demands of deploying large AI models?
Yeah, sure. So we're deploying quite a lot of data centers. There seems to be a new one that comes up every other week, and we've just built the latest two data centers in Houston and Dallas. So we have to look at the data center from an edge perspective and where that inference gets served, where the capacity exists, and where we're currently running models. So our data center is supported by both the edge network and the Nexus 9000 in the DC.
And one of the things that stands out from the outside looking in is this software-first hardware strategy. How does that influence the way networking and data center architecture is built and optimized?
I think from a software perspective, programmability is extremely important of the platform. From a speed of deployment perspective, get that auto-provisioning and, you know, what we've been able to achieve with PoApp in the Nexus 9000, as well as the hardware needing to support really those sort of administrative functions to administer a large amount of links has been really important to us.
And outside of the technology, I think essentially what we're talking about here is over a million developers that are building on Grok Cloud. So how do you ensure consistent performance and availability at scale across the infrastructure? Again, sounds incredibly easy, but maybe not so.
I think it starts easy when you have small amount of links or a small amount of switches, and then the problem starts to exponentially grow. In that hyperscale type territory, you certainly have, you know, the network becomes easy, and then you start receiving a torrent of alerts. And when you look at mean time between failures, between links and individual optics, we start to need to have some systems that automatically take care of that.
And one thing we've got to mention as well, as this technology continues to mature and AI workloads continue to grow in complexity, how do you future-proof Grok's network stack to ultimately stay ahead of this demand curve, which is only going to keep increasing?
So I think this has been really our transition from 100 gig to 800 gig. Although the bandwidth requirements weren't there today, the interface requirements were moving to 400 gig interfaces on the hosts. The transition from 100 gig platforms and having that backward compatibility with 800 gig DR8 optics, being able to break out, being able to have a Cisco Silicon One with a very high bandwidth chip allows us to really future-proof, but also get the economic advantages today of deploying 800 gig.
And if we look back at your Cisco journey, before we started recording the podcast today, you were telling me about the somewhat unique journey and an area that Cisco had not really been too dominant in before. Can you share that story?
I think for us, you know, when people look at Cisco or perceive Cisco, they see an enterprise-focused company or a service provider-focused company. What we're seeing now is that Cisco have always been in the hyperscale. Maybe it's just not been quite public, but having Cisco join us as we build the AI inference cloud and Grok cloud has been really amazing. And that enablement from Cisco, they invested in our last round. So having that followed through in their amazing products has been really, really powerful for us.
What kind of impact has that had on Grok as a company, would you say, that Cisco relationship?
I think the big part that we get out of Cisco is the supply chain assurance. So knowing that we can leverage the power of the Cisco supply chain for optics, even into cabling and into switches, becomes really important for us as we need to quickly build a site in one location or another. Having that Cisco sort of assurance that they can deliver and also their insight into the supply chain that they provide allows that hyperscale to occur before you reach that $1 trillion valuation.
And looking ahead, are there any trends or challenges that you see further shaping the future of AI infrastructure? And how are you at Grok positioning yourself to meet them? Anything you can share around that?
Yeah, I think certainly data center layout becomes a very important problem inside AI infrastructure, particularly around densities. So they're a general trend. For Grok, we run an entirely air-cooled rack, but we certainly see the trend that data centers are densing up, and there's talk of megawatt racks and 100 kilowatts of racks. So I think having the network be able to support that becomes very interesting, because when you do have such high power density, how dense does the network need to be? Or there's the opportunity on the other side where if you can spread the network out over an entire facility, how do you match that density?
And ultimately, for people that cannot attend Cisco Live, what does Cisco Live mean to you? You've come here many miles on the plane. You're going to be going back thinking about all the conversation you had. What does it all mean to you?
I think Cisco's presence inside the enterprise and their ability to truly innovate has been fantastic. You know, what's come out of the Silicon One series, and I've been tracking it closely over the years, is truly impressive. And it's good to see Cisco back in Silicon.
And for anybody listening wanting to find out more information about you, your work, your experience with Cisco, how you're leveraging the technology, maybe looking for a few pointers, where's the best place to find out more information about Grok or contact you or your team?
I certainly think .com. You know, have a play with the demo, sign up, and really experience the power of Grok Speed.
Awesome. I'll add links to absolutely everything there. As I said, I know how you're back-to-back in meetings today, but just thank you for stopping by.
No worries. Thank you so much, Neil.
So what does it take to rethink the foundation of AI performance? Well, after speaking with Grok's Cameron Ferdinands today, I think the answer comes down to simplicity, clarity, and architecture that puts software in control. And in a world where AI adoption is accelerating, but many organizations are still struggling to scale, Grok is offering somewhat of a reset, one that doesn't rely on brute force or bloated complexity, but more on clean design and execution-ready infrastructure. And I think one of the most powerful takeaways from our conversation today is how Grok is approaching the AI challenge from a developer-first mindset. And I think Grok is allowing their teams to focus on outcomes rather than troubleshooting. And I think there's a significant shift here for enterprise leaders trying to move fast, but without compromising on reliability or budget. And with Cisco, Grok is extending that impact across the networking layer, from Nexus 9000 switches to unified observability tools. I think this partnership offers something rare: infrastructure that supports speed and transparency and trust all at the same time. And it couldn't come at a better moment. AI workloads are growing, demands on infrastructure are rising, and businesses of all sizes need answers that scale. And this year, Cisco Live has made it clear, AI readiness isn't optional, and neither is embedded security. One of my big takeaways today is that the architecture that you choose right now, that will define what's possible tomorrow. So whether you are modernizing an enterprise network, deploying large language models, or planning for the edge, all of these conversations are shaping how digital transformation actually happens. But over to you, what's next for your organizations? Are your teams ready to build and deploy at the pace of real-time AI? And if you are here in San Diego, find time to dig deeper into some of these solutions. And if you're listening remotely, please keep an eye on Grok and Cisco, because I think the future of performance-driven infrastructure is already being built. So ask yourself, what would you create, or what could you create, if nothing slowed you down? Let me know your thoughts. Techblogwriteroutlook.com, LinkedIn, Instagram, X, just at Neil C. Hughes. Love to hear your thoughts on this one. But it's time for me to hit the show floor again. I've got a few other guests in mind that I want to be bringing to you this week. So I'll speak with you all again very soon. Bye for now.